Good morning. This is Berta reading the commercial news for Thursday, October 15th. Where mail-in or absentee ballot numbers were available. The findings show in 6 swing states, Florida, Georgia, Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, at least 5.2 million more voters used mail-in or absentee ballots in 2020 primary elections when compared to similar electoral milestones in 2016. Had a positive relationship with the use of mail-in and absentee ballots. Generally, the more wealthy a county, regardless of which political party claims majority support, the more voters utilized mail-in or absentee ballots in 2020. The net effect of the exponential growth of remote voting has been a substantial expansion and diversification of a pool of people who participate in elections, said Ernetja Shino, a University of North Florida assistant professor of political science. Prior to 2020, Republicans tended to vote by mail at higher rates than Democrats, but that is changing, she said. The data from states examined for this report shows neither major political party benefited more from mail-in ballots in 2020. In Oklahoma and Pennsylvania, Democrats were more likely to vote by mail. In Florida and Georgia, Republicans cast more ballots by mail. The financial divide. More consistent than party line divides is voting behavior or economic divides. In 7 of the 8 states, mail-in and absentee voting was more popular in counties with higher median incomes. A poll of New York voters conducted by Siena College in late September found voters in the youngest age bracket, 18 to 34, and those with an annual income of at least $50,000 are more likely to vote by mail in November election. Trump has been a frequent critic of mailed ballots, attempting to discredit their use. He cited a risk of mayhem and fraud. Despite repeated claims by politicians, the Brennan Center for Justice, a nonpartisan public policy and law institute, found fraud is very rare, voter impersonation is virtually non-existent, and many instances of alleged fraud are, in fact, mistakes by voters or administrators. The Institute found the same holds true for mail-in ballots, which are essential to holding a safe election during the pandemic. In some states, GOP and Trump campaign leaders are even urging mailed ballots. An absentee has grown exponentially. We give every voter what we talk to the opportunity to cast absentee, said Bryant Barrett, regional political director in Georgia for the Trump victory campaign. Still, many conservative voters are quick to question security of mailed ballots. Trump supporter Seth Rugin of Oxford, Pennsylvania, said he fears the shift away from in-person voting provides more opportunities for fraud. Now you've got all these states with different regulations and dates and postmark dates, he said, and I don't like that. Election decisions, like how to count absentee ballots or handle registration forms, are largely left to state and local officials, said Joseph Anthony, an assistant visiting professor at Oklahoma State University. It really doesn't make it much more difficult to manipulate or steal an election, he said. But the patchwork of procedures has created disparities. States that don't provide free return postage for ballots risk disenfranchising minority and low-income communities. And a lack of reliable broadband access across swaths of rural America can make it difficult to even request ballots, experts said. Potential postal problem. Additionally, voters in some places already have experienced problems with mailed ballots. Still, there is no evidence that absentee balloting creates a widespread problem, said Grant Reeder, director of Campbell Public Affairs Institute in Syracuse University. Some Americans fear upheaval at the U.S. Postal Service would thwart their chance to vote after a top-down restructuring in the organization that reduced mail sorting capacity in some places. In response to concerns both about mail deliveries and processing, many states have made changes to ballot processing restrictions. In Michigan, clerks now will count late arriving ballots that are postmarked by November 2nd. Traverse City, Michigan clerk Benjamin Marriott said he doesn't believe the concerns about late ballots merit as much attention as they get. I honestly think that ballots and a lot of the dialogue that's out there that shed doubt on the Postal Service's ability to meet this mission is really meant to keep people from feeling comfortable about voting absentee, he said. And they should feel comfortable voting absentee. For those who don't trust the mail, he encourages voters to drop their absentee ballots off in person. CNHI State House reports Riley Bunch, Whitney Downard, John Finney, and Joe Mahoney contributed to this report. IDPH issues COVID-19 holiday safety tips. Springfield staff report. As Illinoisans prepare to spend the holidays with family and friends, the Illinois Department of Public Health is offering recommendations on how to celebrate safer during the COVID-19 pandemic. During a time when social distancing and limiting the number of people at gatherings is important, special considerations should be taken. COVID-19 has changed the way we work, live, and play, and will now change the way we plan to celebrate the holidays, said IDPH Director Nozeki Nzike. While the safest way to celebrate is with members of your own household and connecting with others virtually, we know for many, the holidays are all about family and friends, so we want to provide some tips on how to celebrate safer. Traveling increases the chances of spreading COVID-19. When traveling, consider the mode of transportation. Traveling by plane, train, or bus can mean standing in lines and sitting less than 6 feet from people for long periods of time. Traveling by car may include stops along the way for gas, food, and bathroom breaks. Decrease your risk by consistently wearing face coverings during travel. If you are hosting a holiday gathering, limit the number of guests and try to have as many activities outside as weather permits. If your gathering needs to be inside, try to increase the airflow by partially opening a couple of windows. Please prepare yourself and your guests to wear masks indoors when not eating and drinking. Limit your activities in the 2 weeks before your gathering and ask your guests to do the same. This will decrease the risk of exposure to the virus and further spread. Try to do gift shopping online by looking at local store websites and choosing pickup options. Grocery shopping online with delivery and curbside pickup is also available in many locations. If you need to shop in person, try to go at a time when stores are not as busy. Think about the seating arrangements if you are planning a meal. Keep members of the same household together and try to put space between one family and another. When serving food, avoid a buffet-style or potluck setting and consider having one person serve all the food so that multiple people are not handling the serving utensils. Also try to limit the number of people going in and out of areas where food is being prepared, like the kitchen and dining room. If you are sick, do not travel and do not attend gatherings and celebrations. Even if your symptoms are mild, you may still be able to infect others, and no one wants the gift of sickness this season. To help stave off illness, get your flu vaccine now. It takes the body several weeks after receiving the vaccine to build up antibodies that'll protect you from the flu, So get it now to help protect you and others during the holidays. Roll up your sleeve, hashtag sleeve up, and get your flu shot. For more holiday tips, go to the IDPH website under guidance. VA to host nursing hiring fair, staff report, Danville. VA Ileana Healthcare System is recruiting nurses for rewarding opportunities to serve our nation's heroes. A hiring event for those nurses will be held from 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Wednesday, October 14, 2020, at the Outdoor Pavilion at the Medical Center in Danville at 1900 East Main Street. We are recruiting and hiring nursing assistants, licensed practical nurses, registered nurses, and nurse practitioners to fill positions in a variety of areas, such as long-term care and mental health. This is part of an effort to meet the growing demand of our services within our medical center, said Public Affairs Officer Melissa Spady. Being on our team comes with earning a competitive salary and outstanding benefits, including 5 weeks of paid vacation each year, even as a new hire. Throughout the event, human resources and nursing staff will be available to answer any questions and perform interviews on the spot. We need the best and the brightest to provide our veterans with the safe, high-quality health care, said VAIHCS Medical Center Director Sean Bransky. For more information about VA Ileana Healthcare System or the Nursing Hiring Fair, visit the website www.danville.va.gov/Facebook at www.facebook.com/VA Danville. EIF announces Food Assistance Program. Staff Report, Danville. Eastern Illinois Food Bank is distributing food to area families struggling with food insecurity. The drive-through distribution will be held at Carl Danville on Vermilion at 2300 North Vermilion Street in Danville, 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Saturday, October 24th. In compliance with CDC guidelines, clients will remain in their cars and boxes of food will be loaded into their vehicle by volunteers. Clients should clear space in their trunk or back seat prior to arriving at the distribution event to prevent contact. The distribution is provided by support from Carl and Health Alliance. The distribution is part of the USDA's Coronavirus Food Assistance Program and will include pre-packaged box of supplemental food items. Those planning to attend should pre-register at www.eifclient.com, although doing so does not guarantee a place in line. Updates regarding EIF's response to the COVID-19 pandemic, including future food distributions, can be found at the food bank's website at www.eiffoodbank.org. Eastern Illinois Food Bank works to alleviate hunger in Eastern Illinois through cooperation with a network of food pantries, agencies, and programs. The food bank distribution donates and discounted food through an 18-county service area in cooperation with more than 170 member agencies and programs. Through these agencies, the food bank provides food for over 100,000 different men, women, and children each year. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank is a member of Feeding America, Feeding Illinois, and the United Way of Champaign County. And now the obituaries for October 15th. Beverly Wood, Danville, Beverly Wood was called home by our Lord Thursday, October 8th, 2020 at 10:25 a.m. at North Logan Healthcare. Ruth Robertson. Ruth Winona Robertson passed away on August 26, 2020 in her home at Care Partners Assisted Living in Altoona, Wisconsin. A celebration of life ceremony will be held on Thursday, October 22nd, 2020, at 11 o'clock a.m. at the Wayne Blakeney Building in Ridge Farm, Illinois, and burial at Crown Hill Cemetery. Kenneth W. Westfall. Kenneth Kenny William Westfall, 82, went to be with his Lord and Savior Monday morning, October 12th. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois, at 3940 North Vermilion Street, has been entrusted with arrangements. Per Kenneth's wishes, he will be cremated. A graveside service will be announced at a later date. Una Foster. Una Bray Foster, 85, of Rossville, Illinois, passed away at 7:12 a.m. Tuesday, October 13, 2020, at Heritage Health Therapy and Senior Living in Hoopston. Per her wishes, she will be cremated and no services will be held. Larry Hoffman. Larry E. Hoffman, 79, of Centralia, Illinois, formerly of Ramsey, Illinois, passed away Friday, October 9, 2020, at St. John's Hospital in Springfield. Services will be held at 2 p.m. Sunday, October 18th, at Eternally Baptist Church, Centralia, Illinois. Burial will be held at a later date in Prairie Cemetery, rural Ramsey, Illinois. Charles Sims, Charles Danville. A homecoming celebration will commence at 11 a.m. Friday, October 16, 2020, at Philadelphia Baptist Church, 423 North Washington Avenue, Danville. Visitation will begin at 10 a.m. until the time of service. A public viewing will be held on October 15, 2020 at Leek and Sons Funeral Home at 304 East William Street, Danville, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Burial will be in Danville National Cemetery. CDC regulations and restrictions will be enforced. James Owen Talbot. James Owen Talbot, 67, of Shelbyville, Illinois, passed away on Monday, October 12, 2020, at HSHS St. John's Hospital in Springfield, Illinois. Private graveside services will be held in Glenwood Cemetery in Shelbyville, Illinois. Lockhart Green Funeral Home in Shelbyville is assisting the family. Catherine Viola Powell. Catherine Viola Powell, 84, of Danville, passed away on Tuesday, October 13, 2020. A graveside service for Catherine will be held on Monday, October 19, 2020, at 1 p.m. at Bethel Cemetery in Blount Township, on the corner of 1150 East and Indian Springs Road, 2470 North Danville. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville has been entrusted to handling the arrangements. Dora Taylor. Dora May Taylor, 86, of Williamsport, Indiana, passed away at 1:40 p.m. Monday, October 12, 2020, at her home. A celebration of Dora's life will be held at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Thursday, October 15, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Covington, Indiana. Visitation will be held 1 hour prior to her service at the funeral home. It is kindly requested that face masks be worn and social distancing is practiced by those in attendance of the visitation and/or service. She will be laid to rest in West Lebanon Cemetery. Memorial donations may be given to the donor's choice. And these obituaries were received by 5 p.m. on Wednesday. Danville. Johnson, Carrie A., 49, passed away at 3 a.m. Tuesday, October 13, 2020, at Arcadia Care in Danville. Rovet Funeral Services and Crematory is assisting the family. Juvenile, Mary L., 78, passed away Tuesday, October 13th in Chicago. Rovet Funeral Home and Crematory is assisting the family. Catlin Pyre, Bette Ray, 84, passed away Sunday, October 11th at home. Visitation, 2 to 4 p.m. Saturday, October 17th at the Assembly, 428 North Walnut Street, Danville. Rovet Funeral Services and Crematory is assisting the family. Hoopston, Payne, Rick Edwin, 70, passed away at 11:20 p.m. Friday, October 9th, 2020, at his home. Cremation rites will be accorded. Visitation, 11 to 1, Tuesday, October 20th, 2020, and Anderson Funeral Home in Hoopston. Graveside service at 1:30 p.m. at Floral Hill Cemetery in Hoopston. Rhodes, Ann M. Meyer, 84, passed away at 4:25 a.m. Saturday, October 10th, 2020, at Gibson Area Hospital Annex in Gibson City. Per her wishes, she will be cremated. Visitation, 9:30 to 11 a.m. Saturday, October 17th, at Anderson Funeral Home. A private memorial service and burial will be held. Las Vegas, Nevada, Prather, John David, Dave, Cass, formerly of Rossville, passed away Thursday, August 6th, 2020, at his home. Cremation rites have been accorded and a graveside service will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, October 16th, 2020, at Rossville Cemetery in Rossville. Anderson Funeral Home in Hoopston is handling the arrangements. Rossville, Strasser, Robert Bob Wayne, 88, passed away at 1:40 a.m. Tuesday, October 13th, 2020, at Heritage Health Therapy and Senior Living in Hoopston. Services, 11 a.m. Friday, October 16th, 2020, at Rossville Cemetery in Rossville. Anderson Funeral Home in Hoopston is handling the arrangements. Tilton, Cravens, Arnold B., 54, passed away at 4:35 a.m. Saturday, October 10th in Danville. Graveside services, 10 a.m. Saturday, October 17th at Gundy Cemetery in Bismarck. Rovet Funeral Services is assisting the family. Legros, Tammy Jo, 56, passed away Saturday, October 10th at home. Services, Saturday, October 24th at our home, 1 to 3 p.m. A short prayer at 1:30 with food and drink to follow. Rovet Funeral Services and Crematory is assisting the family. Westville, Tauflinger, Christopher Dean, 38. Visitation Friday, October 16th at Life Church from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. with service starting at 2 p.m. and military honors and burial following at Sunset Cemetery. Rovet Funeral Services and Crematory is assisting the family. Community Briefs, Danville. Housing Authority to meet today. The annual meeting of the Board of Commissioners of the Housing Authority of the City of Danville, doing business at Vermilion Housing Authority, is scheduled for 4 p.m. today via teleconference. DACC to offer FMLA in pandemic class. Danville Area Community College's corporate education is offering FMLA in a COVID-19 environment. The training will be held via Zoom from 10 to 11 a.m. November 5, 2020. The cost is $45. The Family Medical Leave Act has never been a walk in the park to understand all provisions and amendments, but now it's even more confusing. This session will cover the differences between what you knew about FMLA before COVID and what you should know after COVID, at least through December, unless extended, and how it all works. The program is presented by Donna Rogers. Contact DACC Corporate Education for registration details by contacting Stephanie Yates or Brittany Woodworth at 217-554-1628. County Committee cancels meeting. The Vermilion County Health and Education Committee meeting scheduled for today has been canceled. Please contact the County Board office at 554-6000 with any questions or concerns. Color Splash parties return to Danville Art League. October's Color Splash Party will feature a colorful barn and sunflower scene. Check our website at www.danvilleartleague.com for a photo of the painting. The instructor will be Carol Garver. Because of social distancing, a limited number of seats will be available. Because of this, we will be offering parties on Thursday, October 22nd, and Friday, October 23rd. The parties will be held from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Cost for each person for these Color Splash parties will be $30 per person. Payments may be made on our website or in person with cash or check. Westville man pleads guilty to possession of weapon. Danville. A Westville man pleaded guilty Wednesday to weapons charges. Antone Mayer of 321 McKinley, Westville, pleaded guilty in front of Circuit Judge Thomas O'Shaughnessy to the offense of unlawful possession of weapons by a felon, a Class 3 felony punishable from 2 to 10 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections. Mayers was sentenced to 10 years in the IDOC, according to a press release issued by State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey's office. And this is Birdie signing off, reading the commercial news for Thursday, October 15th, 2020. Have a great day.